Welcome to the Dynamics Hot Dish, the podcast where Ashley Steiner, Allie Nelson, and Liz McLennan dish up the latest news and insights about Dynamics and the Power Platform. Join us to explore business applications and low-code development with tips, tricks, and real-world experiences. So grab a seat at the table and let's dig in. Well, welcome back to another episode of Dynamics Hot Dish. Today we are here to talk about first party versus custom apps. But before we get into that topic, please take 30 seconds and like and subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening, YouTube, Spotify, wherever you're listening to the podcast today. So we're excited to talk about this topic. I know I briefly mentioned this during our interview with Ryan Cunningham. If you haven't watched that episode, go back and check it out. But it is always very top of mind to me because I am an end user of Power Apps / CE for my nonprofit TechFluent, and we're always all about saving money. So we're always looking for the most cost-effective approach to stay in the Microsoft stack and take advantage of all of its great functionality. So I'm kind of constantly evaluating whether, you know, I need to deploy CE for something or if I can go the custom app route. So a perfect example is that up until a few months ago, Microsoft gave 5 free CE licenses to nonprofits. Well, they've discontinued that offering. And now the only thing we get is 10 Power Apps licenses. So this is very top of mind, very relevant for me today. But any any small business that, you know, is trying to, again, take the most cost-effective approach to licensing, or if you're in kind of a non-traditional scenario, so what I would historically call like XRM, where you're not core CRM apps, and but you need a relational database, you need a way to track or automate something, and if it doesn't fit perfectly into that out-of-the-box solution, then, you know, Power Apps, custom Power Apps is potentially another way to go.
I was just going to add on to that, because I think that another situation is if you don't need everything that's in the first party app. And I think that we talked about this on our Dynamics 365 episode like a month ago now. The first one of this series is field service. Like, that's the one that always comes top of mind for me, is because field service is so big. Like, there's so much in it, and there's so much of field service that you can customize in a Power App or even a Canvas app, and still utilize a lot of the same functionality. You know, or rebuild it in a way that's, you know, suitable to your process, because field service is huge. It's expensive to set up, and you're not even going to use a lot of it. So depending on who you are. So that's another situation, I guess I would say, Liz, is I always think of, are you going to use enough of the features in the first party app to justify the cost versus building a smaller version?
Yeah. And part of me wonders, like, if this is really coming down to, like, are you enterprise or are you small business? Because I feel like a lot of times, like, Dynamics gives great functionality, but there's a lot to it. And if you're a really small company, it might just be too much to use right now. And so, like, why pay for that expensive enterprise level license when you're, actually, to your point, maybe only going to use 5 or 10% of it? Like, maybe it makes more sense to start with a Power App. And then, you know, transition when you get to needing all of it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if I have the answer, but it's, you know, it's the conversation. It's like, what questions to ask. Allie, I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, so as you guys were talking to her, I was thinking, kind of summarizing what you both said into like 2 bullet points, right? On like why this conversation is relevant. Number one, licensing for Dynamics applications is expensive, right? There's different tiers that you can have, but let's say published as of, I don't know, December on Microsoft's website, I think a Sales Enterprise license is like $100 a month per user, right? And so if you start talking about building a Power App instead, whether it's a model-driven app, a Canvas app, you know, we talked about the difference of those in our last episode. But I think that, Liz, I don't know if you know offhand, you mentioned free licenses, but isn't it only like $7 or $8 a month or something?
10.
So it's like a significant $10 a month.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's not nonprofit pricing, but yeah, for a regular company, yes.
Yeah. So Thank you, Ashley. So for then like $10, that's a huge difference, right? You can get 10 licenses for the price of one if you go the model-driven app route. But then I think the other bullet point that I was thinking of like is build time and the capability to maintain your own environment, right? So even if you go buy Dynamics 365 Sales off the shelf, there's still an implementation that has to be done. Right. It's no one just like buys it and then opens it and goes, oh, this is perfect. This is exactly what I wanted. So
you still unless you're really it. Small and have just a couple salespeople,
you still customize it a little.
You add a couple fields. But yeah, I mean, you do relatively small. Yeah. OK. No, you're right. There's still customization.
Yeah. So you could try it and see how it goes. But a lot of the time you customize something on it. And then for the other option, the model-driven app option or Canvas app option would be fully custom. Like you have to have somebody to build out the entire solution. And so I think that's the other consideration as well of like, are you going to do this in-house? Are you going to hire somebody to do it? And then somebody has to upkeep it. So I love this call out from our conversation with Ryan where he said, well, you get updates in your model-driven apps, right? Like Microsoft publishes things and says, hey, you have to go update this. And then you get all the new experiences, you get your release waves twice a year and all that. And I feel like you would lose some of that if you would go the custom app, but maybe it's not as important to you. I don't know. What do you guys think?
But I feel like that, yes, like it's a valid point that Microsoft is constantly rolling out new features and functionality, and they have a giant team of, you know, engineers, developers working on the product. But that only makes sense if the core functionality is a match in the first place. If you don't need core sales, service, project apps, field service, marketing, or whatever. We just covered the new name, and I can't remember it.
Yeah.
Customer insight journeys. But like, if it's that's not a good fit, then I don't feel like that matters. Also, you can still get access. So there's restricted and unrestricted tables in the Dataverse. So like, I can build a custom model-driven app and still leverage accounts, contacts, and activities. And I don't have to like create activities from scratch. Now you can't pull in unrestricted tables. Like I couldn't pull in like opportunities, for example.
Cases.
Yeah. But like you still kind of get that core functionality even if you're going custom app route.
And to your point, Allie, like I don't have an answer one way or the other. I think the consulting answer that we're all going to give is it depends, right? But I think what we can hope to give out of this conversation is what questions to ask. So if you're new or if you're debating, you know, do I go, which way do I go? Like here are the things to consider.
So then with that kind of conversation, if, you know, you get accounts, contacts, this core functionality, I could see, Liz, why for a nonprofit especially, you guys are like, oh, hey, maybe we should just go build this model-driven app because you get the core functionality and you can kind of build the custom tables as you need to on top of it. And I feel like I get asked all the time from clients of like, what aren't we using in the system? And that's the thing, like people know that they've implemented this tool and they're not using it to its fullest extent. You know, there's the, like we talked about in our Dynamics episode a few weeks back, sales insights, right? There's this functionality that's in there that you have to get people to, what is it? Crawl, walk, run, we'll say, right? When you first implement a tool for them, you want them to become familiar with the system and use it and use kind of the core functionality. And then as time goes on, they kind of start using these more advanced features with it. And I feel like that kind of comes into play a little bit here as well, is because, you know, there's a lot of companies that might not ever use those fancy features. And if they won't, then do they need them?
Well, why pay? You're paying for it. Like the enterprise license has that factored in. So like, why are you paying for something you're not using? You know, it's like, you're not going to get your ROI on it then.
What do you think about scalability? Like, do you feel like if they start with say you're a small business, right? And you just want to go build your own model driven app and that's what you're going to operate with. And then suddenly they start growing. Do you feel like it can scale with them? Or do you feel like they'd, you know, maybe eventually have to roll that into one of the Dynamics applications?
I think it depends. Like my question would be like, are you building out just a light core app? Like, are you building basically a light sales app or light customer service app, for example, or are you doing true XRM where it would never belong in CE in the first place? Because I think if you are just building out a light version of something that already exists, at some point you're going to be at the size where you do have to migrate, like you basically have to re-implement. Like, there's a nonprofit accelerator out there that sits on top of CE, but like, we've chosen not to deploy that at TechFluent because it's overkill for where we're at size-wise right now. And so like someday, you know, 5-10 years from now, like I'm sure we'll be moving to that, but like right now it wasn't needed. And now we'll take a quick break to tell you about our media sponsor, Dynamics User Group. Take your Dynamics skills to new Rocky Mountain heights and join Dynamics Hot Dish and over 2,000 fellow community members at DynamicsCon Live, May 13th to the 16th in Denver. Dive into cutting-edge content on D365, Dynamics GP, Power Platform, and more. Visit live.dynamicscon.com for details, and when registering, make sure to use the promo code HOTDISHINVITE15 for 15% off your registration. Again, that's HOTDISHINVITE15. We'll see you there! And now let's continue our conversation.
And Liz, I'm going to pause you for a second there because you keep referencing XRM. What do you mean when you're referring to XRM? Just for our listeners who might not...
Like a legacy term, I don't even know what to refer to it. Like, what is the new word for it? But so basically, the X means anything else. Like, so CRM is like customer relationship management. It's the different apps or modules like we just covered. So like sales, marketing, customer service, project operations, and field service. So you historically, before we had Power Apps and Power Platform, you could extend CRM to accommodate any sort of need from a relational database, you know, perspective, anything you wanted to track and automate and have a process around. So that could be tracking books in a library to cows in a milking parlor. These are real examples. Tracking
your wedding details. My favorite example is the cows, because I've known several of them. It's amazing.
Yeah. So like, it doesn't have to be this traditional, you know, customer service sales type of process. It could be anything, and it's super extendable, and you can accommodate that because you can build your own tables and columns and process flows and all of it. And so instead of buying CE like we used to and then just extending the crap out of it, you just go straight Power Platform Dataverse custom Power App now, and that is XRM these days. So the X just is that filler for anything kind of that's not out of the box, that's non-traditional from a CRM perspective. I'd love to hear your weigh in on how you would describe it too. I think it's a weird term. I just don't know a better way to explain it.
I think you did a great job. I think that you really outlined it. It is the extensibility, and it is funny because you're right. I hadn't really thought about it, but like now we use the Power Platform to extend it, but we still kind of call it XRM, but we have now more tools in our tool belt that we can use to extend it. And all I was thinking too, when you were talking about the cows, is like, would a cow be a contact or an account?
Well, we were tracking the cows themselves as like individual records. It was more like milking parlors and testing, but like, following state and federal regulations from like a food safety is not out of the box. So like all of that is XRM, like custom configuration. We were in CE doing it in that deployment because there was a sales team and they needed core sales functionality. But, you know,
and to answer your question,
it could have been custom.
Allie, and the other sis, the people that I know that used it used contacts for cows. So
yes,
it was actually truly a dairy farm, and they had to track like the milk production and, you know, the health and, you know, the medicine, the veterinary things. So that they used the contact record for their cows.
So what was the count then in that scenario, Ashley?
They just didn't require it. They didn't use it.
Okay. I wasn't sure if like account was like the farm itself or location. It was one farm. Something.
Like it was one. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, they didn't use account. It's like Betsy the cow was a contact record, and here's that's all the so shots funny. She's had. And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically, I love it. It's an advanced spreadsheet, right? Like XRM is a glorified spreadsheet. So anything you're tracking in a spreadsheet, you could track in an app, in my opinion.
Because now what I would say, I mean, I would probably still use the word XRM because I'm one of those OGs like you, Liz. But like now I would say, oh, let's build a model-driven app for that, or a Canvas app, right? Like we I would just use different terminology that fits the newer technology, right? That's what I would do. But I mean, in my mind, I'm still thinking like, oh, this is XRM and this is how the structure is built and things like that. But you wouldn't necessarily have to build it on the Dataverse structure. You could do a Canvas app and build your own data structure.
Why?
Right? Like, am I wrong?
Yeah, you can, but like,
oh, okay. I guess, but why would you?
Why would you? Yeah.
I don't know.
I think what's cool about what all the examples that you guys have given so far, that we've given so far too, is that we're kind of understanding that customizing is part of either decision that you make, right? There's always the desire to like repurpose existing tables, and you can kind of rename the display name, right? You can't really rename the logical behind the scene name or anything like that. But I feel like a lot of people do the same thing. Like instead of building a new table named cows, you just leverage context because it comes with a certain number of fields. It comes with all of these relationships out of the box that you can use. And so I think regardless of whether you build the model driven app from scratch or you use it, there's still going to be custom tables that you're putting into both of those, right? To be able to actually get the system to do what you want it to do.
Allie, you just triggered like a best practice soapbox for me. But before I speak to it, actually, like, do you repurpose out of the box tables?
Me personally?
Or what have you seen done?
I would personally not reuse out-of-the-box tables because what if you need them in the future? So that's what I would personally do.
I agree with
that. Okay, I was like,
yeah.
I feel like you were setting me up for failure.
I wanted to give you the chance.
I personally would not. So I will also preface this cow situation with somebody I met through a user group that was not my implementation. It was just somebody. So I don't want to sound like a hypocrite, like, oh, we reused contacts. No, I would personally not reuse an existing out-of-the-box table. I would always create a custom one.
I think it depends. And if we had a quarter for every time we said it depends in this episode. But for real, because there's certain tables that come with insane functionality, like leads and like quotes. And maybe leads isn't like insane functionality, but like it's got your qualify button, your disqualify button. It creates all these records. It does all these things. So like if you have a purpose for using all of that, like I don't know that I would try to replicate all that functionality because there's a lot there. And same with quotes. There's a lot of functionality built into quotes as well, like activate quote, revise quote, all of that. And so I've seen like maybe customers have a very quick sales cycle. So they don't really do quoting, right? They might just skip right ahead to like a contract. Then like, I don't think you necessarily need to build a whole nother table just dedicated to contracts. But again, getting down to the why you'd want it. And like, if you want to use all that functionality that comes along with it, because I don't know, those are two tables that stand out to me as having like a lot of stuff that comes along with them and trying to redo all of that functionality if you want it, just because you don't want to use the same name or it's slightly different or whatever, then it might not be worth rebuilding. But otherwise,
that's funny because what you said is like redoing all that functionality, like the purpose of not using that table is so that you don't have to use that functionality. Like if I was gonna use the lead table and to use all that functionality, well then it's a freaking lead. Like what else are you gonna use it for, right? Like that's what the functionality is there for. Because we just did an implementation where on their contract, they're like, we just want like three fields. We want to like track, like, can we extend this? What's the start date and what's the end date? They're like, we just like our contracts are held in a different system. We just want to be able to pull in the system like these three things. And I'm like, well, why would we use the out of the box? Like, there's no need to waste that table and customize it for this super simple need, right? So we created a custom table, and yeah, maybe someday we'll integrate with the custom, you know, the out of the box contracts table. Well, then we'll just migrate the data, you know, for these three fields. So yeah, that's funny that you say that, Allie, because I'm like, well, the whole point is that you wouldn't want to use all that functionality, because like if you're using it, well then it is what it is, I guess.
That's true,
in my head that totally made sense.
When I'm describing it too, I was thinking about like, well, you know, it's not a lead, so I want it to be called something else. And I guess diving into that a little bit deeper.
It's more than just
like,
a rename.
It's, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because, like, I've renamed, like, a lead an account request. Because they're like, well, we don't want the terminology lead. And I'm like, okay, we'll call it that they're requesting the account or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. But you're using all the same functionality. You're using all the same fields. You're just renaming it because, like, internally, like, lead is a taboo or something. Like, I've done that for sure.
Liz, do you want to stand on your soapbox? Tell us your feelings.
No, I mean, it's exactly what Ashley said. I don't need to repeat it. I think renaming something is fine, but, like, ripping something apart, like, just leave it alone and, like, keep it there in case you need to leverage that functionality someday. If you're going to rip it apart because it's not at all what you need and not serving the purpose, like, meeting the requirement, just create a custom table.
Well, like, I know somebody who used the leads and then built their own convert, like, button to convert, and it does the same exact thing as the qualify button, but they're like, we just didn't want it to say qualify, so we created our own process. And I'm really like, but it does button. Thank you. And I was like, but it does everything that the qualify button does, so why wouldn't you just change the button name or something? So yeah, I agree, Liz, like, instead of, like, bastardizing, I don't know if we're allowed to say that on the podcast or not, but, like, that's what you're doing, basically, when you start to use that functionality or rip it apart, like you said.
I mean, hey, if that person that you're talking about made a fancy button that you could add to a business process flow so you can click qualify from the qualify stage instead of also having to click the qualify button, I'm on board with that master
Absolutely.
Plan.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not what they did, though. Here's the thing. No. It was not that clever. But I also don't want to say more because, you know, they'll know who they are.
No, that's
fair. Okay, well, to get us back on track, what else should people be thinking about if they're considering, you know, CRM app versus custom app?
Personally, I think we hit on the big ones. You know, I think we've talked about, like, the functionality that you need is obviously core. So, like, does this come with too many bells and whistles that you're never going to leverage, or at least you're not going to leverage for a long time? And then cost. Right? I think those are kind of the two big decision points. I guess cost and maintainability, right? Is who's going to maintain your system moving forward. So I guess three. I don't know. What do you guys think? Anything besides those?
We also didn't talk about, like, mixing and matching. Like, you could have CE deployed with a custom app. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that fits into the conversation or not.
Can you think of a scenario where you would do that?
Are you guys referring to, like, instead of using the sales hub, using a custom model driven app? Or are you talking about something different?
Yeah, like, you have CE deployed for part of your workforce, but then, you know, there's a use case where part of the users don't need full CE and they just need part of it. Like, I'm
That's
sure.
That's where I would start exploring the team member license.
For sure.
Yep. Honestly, like, so if I was purchasing any portion pro enterprise licensing for CE, any of the apps, sales, customer service, across the board, everyone except for marketing, which is just a flat fee no matter how many users you have per month, all of them have a team member license option. So in that case, Liz, and those are also $10 a month. So that's
what does the team member license give?
It gives you exactly actually everything that you have access to in a model-driven app. Like, you can't use those unrestricted tables, but you can access all the other tables. So they get their own custom model-driven app, and then you can add things to it, but you can't add those restricted tables. Allie, were you going to say something different?
Yeah, and I think that's it for the most part. There's certain things you cannot do. Like you can't... And tying into the restricted tables, I guess, is an example. Mm-hmm. But, like, you can't create cases, you know?
Well, that's a restricted like table.
But
like, you can't even view cases.
Okay. See, some of them I think you can view and you just can't edit. But I can't read. I'd have to look at the
that's
licensing
true.
To be sure.
No, yeah. So I think I think there's just restrictions, right? Like, the same with the model-driven app is, like, to your point, Ali, yeah, if you have a team member license for customer service, of course you want people to view the case, but they just can't edit it. Same with sales. I think you can view opportunities, but you can't, like, create and close them and things like that. So I think it's very similar, Liz, to, like, creating a custom app.
And the takeaway is that licensing is complicated.
And licensing is important. Like, ask very specific questions. Like, Liz, that was a super specific question that somebody would probably never think to ask. But, like, the answer is different, like, depending on the scenario. So, like, I think you need to just ask a ton of questions. And don't, well, and ask Microsoft. I mean, nobody knows the licensing better in theory than Microsoft.
And the other part that I want to throw in, too, is back to Liz, your question of if you kind of have a hybrid approach. If there's any chance that you'll need to, like, share data or integrate data or something, and that, like, you just don't want to get into a situation where you have, like, a Canvas app with a different data source and then you have to integrate it into your other app somehow like that. So, like, if there's any type of communication complications that come into play, I would say stay away from it. But I think what's really common is model-driven apps within CE apps, right? So say, like, everybody has Sales Enterprise licenses, but you've got this group of 10 people who works with these three tables, and you've got this group of 30 people who works with these three tables. Like, people will build them model-driven apps to condense their experience, so you're not all seeing the same, like, 9 million views, even though, like, you only want the subset for your team. So I think that's a really common hybrid. Kind of fits what we're talking about, but not really. But I just wanted to call that out, too.
That's a good point.
I think the other thing to consider, and I think that we definitely touched on it, but is considering your roadmap as a company is even more important. Because if you're asking the question if one is better than the other, then you're a small enough organization where, like, you're either in a growth pattern, right? Or you're staying small, which both of those are fine. But if you're in a growth pattern like that, you have a much different answer than somebody who's going to stay a small business, right? I would give somebody a very different answer. So I think not only like just what your team is going to do, but look at like the growth of your company.
Smart.
Field service is a good example of that. Like today you have 10 people, but our growth is that in 3 years, we're going to have, you know, 1500. I would tell you to implement field service because it'll take you the 3 years to get it fully implemented.
Yeah, that's a good point. Final thoughts?
None here.
So, final just, thoughts?
Yeah, I think just, you know, the main considerations we talked about. I think it's asking a lot of questions, figuring out what you need your output to be, and you'll make the right decision.
Ask for help. I think, you know, ask your partner, read, check the licensing documentation. Licensing is changing all the time. So, like, always pull up the latest and greatest to inform your decision. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're watching this, check the date of this video before you refer to this for licensing.
Yep. Okay. Well, stay tuned for our next episode, which is about ERP and CRM working together or working better together, right? That's our next topic. And make sure to like and subscribe. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in to Dynamics Hot Dish, your go-to podcast for all things Dynamics 365 and the Power Platform. If you found this episode helpful, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. And don't forget to follow us on social media for even more insights and updates on the latest trends and best practices in business applications and low-code development. We'll be back soon with another delicious serving of Dynamics and Power Platform goodness. Until then, keep innovating and building great solutions.